A census survey finds nearly 10 million homeowners as of late October are already behind on their mortgage payments. And the Aspen Institute estimates 30 to 40 million renters in the United States are at risk of eviction. The pandemic has exacerbated the country's ongoing housing crisis. And with federal protections expiring at the end of the year, it's an urgent crisis the incoming Biden-Harris administration will inherit in the new year. Diane Yentl is the CEO and president of the National Low Income Housing Coalition, and her name has been floated as a possible HUD secretary, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, so the Center for Disease Control eviction moratoriums are set to expire on December 31st, as do many of the remaining federal unemployment benefits. Your organization is organizing for a call to action tomorrow for rent relief. What exactly do you feel Congress needs to do?
Right. Well, yeah, the situation is very dire. We are facing the possibility of tens of millions of renters losing their homes this winter when the eviction moratorium expires on December 31st. And at that point, renters will owe an estimated range of $25 billion to $70 billion in back rent, which is obviously far more than they can possibly pay off. And at that point, there will be virtually no remaining protections to keep them housed. And, you know, the consequences of tens of millions of people, predominantly people of color, people with very low incomes, losing their homes in the dead of winter during a spike in COVID-19, it would be catastrophic for families, for children, for communities, certainly for our country's effort to contain the pandemic. But the thing about the eviction crisis that we're facing is that not only is it entirely predictable, as we and others have been predicting it for over 8 months, it's completely preventable. But preventing it requires the Congress and the White House act to implement new protections, provide new resources. So we are calling on Congress to, one, establish a broad moratorium on all evictions for non-payment of rent. You know, the very least the federal government ought to do in the middle of a public health emergency is assure each of us that we're not going to lose our homes in the middle of it. But moratoriums on their own aren't enough because eventually they do expire. They create a financial cliff that renters can fall off of when back rent is owed. So we are also pushing for Congress to provide at least $100 billion in emergency rental assistance to keep those renters stably housed during the pandemic, to make sure that small landlords receive the rental income that they need to maintain their properties and to keep people housed. And we also need resources for homeless shelter and service providers to keep people who are experiencing homelessness safe and healthy and to get them housed as quickly as possible.
How concerned are you with the fact that we still don't even have a stimulus bill on the horizon? I mean, what you're calling for is among so many other issues that we're dealing with right now, and the call to action for people who are unemployed, for business owners. This is now another layer here. Is government intervention the only way at this point?
Well, there are things that can be done in the short term at the state and local level to try to make up for the lack of federal action. So we are urging governors and mayors, you know, not to wait for the federal government to act to protect renters in their state, in their city. Governors and mayors can reinstitute, reimplement, extend eviction moratoriums, statewide or citywide eviction moratoriums, like we had many of early in the pandemic. They can look for resources to put towards emergency rental assistance. And many have been doing that with some of the resources that are available. But the scale and the scope of this problem requires federal intervention and requires federal resources. And I will say that of those solutions that I named, at this point, they have passed the U.S. House of Representatives, not just once, not twice, but three times. There's practically unanimous Democratic support for these solutions in the House and in the Senate. And in those final days of negotiations before the election between Secretary Mnuchin and Speaker Pelosi, these solutions were on the table in the negotiations, and they weren't that far apart in the numbers or the specifics. What's required is coming to a deal on a larger package, and that's much more unclear and uncertain in terms of timing and possibility.
Stepping back a little bit, You know, I think when people hear about a housing crisis, they may immediately think about 2009 and 10 with all of those foreclosures. That was a different situation, but do you see any connection between now and then?
So, the best way to understand the eviction crisis that we face today, we really have to recognize where we were in our country even before COVID-19 came here. And that was in the midst of a severe affordable housing crisis, where we had a shortage of 7 million homes for the lowest income people. So another way of saying that same number is for every 10 of the lowest income people, there were fewer than 4 affordable apartments available to them. So because we had such a shortage, we had over 10 million of the lowest income people paying at least half of their income towards rent, and many were paying much more, 60, 70, 80% of their income on their home. So when you have such limited income to begin with, and you pay so much of it for the roof over your head, you're always one financial emergency away from missing rent, facing possible eviction, and in worst cases, becoming homeless. So for many of these same renters, the coronavirus and its financial fallout is that financial emergency, right? They've lost jobs, they've lost hours, they've lost wages, and it's harder than ever for them to cobble together what they need to make rent. And as you said early on, there were resources, there were protections put in place in those early months of the pandemic, but by and large, they've expired, they've been depleted, and the last remaining protection is set to expire on December 31st.
I want to ask you about something else. You know, this election cycle, we saw the Trump campaign invoke the building of affordable housing in suburbs as a means of scaring suburban voters about Black and brown people and poor people moving in. That was stoking racial and class tensions. But what do you think people need to know about the affordable housing crisis and the need for it?
Yeah, I mean, that was a very harmful and pretty transparent tactic of using fear and racism to try to drum up votes. I mean, we saw the president of the United States equating affordable homes with crime and declining property values, which couldn't be further from the truth. But unfortunately, in many communities, these are some pretty pervasive beliefs that show up in the form of NIMBYism. You can't build affordable housing in my backyard. And that NIMBYism and that kind of racist rhetoric from the president, it prevents much-needed homes from being built, homes that could be available to our lowest-income neighbors, seniors, people with disabilities on very limited fixed incomes, moms and dads working very low-wage jobs and childcare or healthcare, essential jobs. And so federal governments at all levels have essential roles to play in ensuring that everybody in our community has a home that they can afford. And the president of the United States should be leading and championing those efforts, not denigrating them as Trump did.
Before I let you go, Diane, your name, as I mentioned, has been circulated to possibly lead the Department of Housing and Urban Development for the Biden-Harris administration. Would you take that role? And if so, what would be your first agenda items?
Well, it's certainly an honor to be considered. Look, in these next few months, we are facing one of the most severe housing crises in our country's history. Tens of millions of people on the verge of losing their homes in the next few months. And we have the solutions, but we need Congress to enact them, and we need leaders who can quickly and effectively implement them. So I'm focused, and we all need to be focused, on doing all that we can right now, in the coming months, in the coming years, to get and keep people housed, to work to repair the gaping holes in our social safety net so that we don't face this kind of crisis again during the next disaster or the next year. And we have so much work to do to end homelessness and achieve housing justice in our country, which is achievable. And this administration truly can be transformative to that work. So I'm looking forward to working with President-elect Biden and his team, whoever that may be, in whatever capacity that may be, to do just that.
That's Diane Yentl, CEO and President of the National Low Income Housing Coalition. Thank you so much.
Thank you.